grab a front row seat to the Untold Stories as we talk about how to live life on your terms. You're officially part of the inner circle. Welcome to Courtside with Courtney. And don't worry, I comped your ticket. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Courtside with Courtney. Today, we have Miss Maggie Villamaria. Your name is so fun to say.
It's a mouthful.
You are such a creative person. You're like a ray of sunshine in human form. I swear, every time I see you, I'm like, I just feel inspired being around your energy. It's very like light and happy and creative and cool. I first discovered you through Kellyanne.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know about me before Kellyanne?
Yes.
Or was it simultaneously?
Okay. Yes.
I first discovered you that way. You sent me some jewelry. Do you remember what you sent me?
I think it was blue necklaces, right? It was like a green.
You sent me first some little, it was like the snake huggy earrings and a droplet earring. And
wait, this was back in the day. Oh. I think when Julia Havens like found my stuff, maybe.
I don't remember that part. I do love Juge. I don't remember that part, but I just remember talking to Kelly. This is like before I really knew Kelly either. And
yeah,
she came to my house to do my makeup for the first time. And we were sitting chatting in my kitchen. I was like, I love your earrings. And she was like, oh, it's my friend's brand. And I think I looked and you had DM'd me and I hadn't seen it. And then we started talking that way. Since then, obviously, you created the infamous rainbow necklace that I get 9 million questions about. But for people who don't know who you are, give us an intro into you.
Okay. So I call myself a creative entrepreneur. I want to do every business, whether it be fashion, art, jewelry. Right now, currently, I'm running a jewelry business, which is my name, Maggie Villamaria Jewelry. I have an art business. So I'm selling big abstract paintings and then all the way down to little fashion illustrations. And then I also do content. You know, a lot of people know me for my takes on personal style and creativity. So that's kind of everything.
Were you creative growing up always? Like, was it from a very young age or like dressing yourself and feeling very inspired by the things that you're wearing? I feel like fashion is such a cool, whether it's like accessorizing or fashion, makeup, jewelry, it's all very similar vibes when it comes to like self-expression. Did you feel like that from like a really young age?
This is going to be a long-winded answer.
Bring it on.
Okay. Growing up, so I'm one of five kids. I don't know if you know that. Middle child. So I kind of always was off doing my own thing. But my parents aren't necessarily creative human beings. They both work in the medical field. And when I was growing up, my creativity wasn't a subject that like we talked about. So even in terms of my personal style, I hadn't tapped into that until I was like in college. Mm-hmm. With creativity, like I was telling my sister earlier today, I now affiliate with this term, like a closeted creative. Because growing up, I was like just the sports girl, academic girl. Like I wasn't into art, although I looked at those people and was like, I wish I could do art. I didn't. It wasn't until college that I like finally kind of like rebuilt myself to be like this creative girl and actually let my expression be seen outwardly.
Do you feel like that was something that was closeted in the sense that like you hadn't yet gotten to explore or express it or anything? Or do you feel like it just came about later as you evolved as a person? Because I feel like we're all, you know, like 30 versions of ourselves before
the end
of our times, probably.
I just think I didn't know how to like articulate it growing up. I knew I was creative. And you know, the funny thing, Courtney, is that I'm like, I need to talk to my mom after this, see if she has my sketchbooks. I used to sketch fashion illustrations in sketchbooks and like hide them under my bed because my parents didn't understand it. And of course, like the first thought you have when you're a little kid, you're like, my parents just want me to be a good student. They don't really care about my little art illustrations.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just, it was not expressed in me until later. And I wish that it was different. But right now, like so much of my brand is about like really being your true self, because for almost like 18 years of my life, I didn't really like embrace that.
Yeah, that's probably why, or I'm curious if you think that's why you like doing so many things at one time, because it's almost like you're still exploring that in a lot of ways, right? Because they're all different branches of the same tree. Like if the tree is like being really true to yourself and being creative and stuff, it's sort of like jewelry, fashion, it's all sort of a offshoot of the same thing. Do you feel like you've found the truest version of that yet? Like, do you feel like you've found like what you thrive at. For me, when it comes to dibs, for example, creating beauty products, like having an idea for a product that hasn't been done before and reimagining things and ideating it and then creating it, holding it in my hand and then seeing it on other people. Like I genuinely feel like I'm doing what I'm made to be doing. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've locked in on that yet? Is it just a creative feeling of I'm still sort of like sorting that out. I'm going down each branch.
I think I'm still kind of sorting it out. And the really fascinating thing about my business, like Sarah, my sister who's here, will tell you, she's like, focus on one thing. But there's something so authentic for me in being like, I want to do a million things, because that's like how you find and discover yourself.
So that's what my question was getting at. I'm wondering if you like to do a million things because you're always going to like to do a million things, or if you know like deep down that you are this really hyper creative person and you're looking for the specific way that you want to express that into you right now that looks like trying all the ways, you know? Like I wonder if you'll settle into one of those or if you'll always want to do everything.
If I'm going to trust my intuition, it's going to be, I think what I'm meant to do truly is just art and style. I think jewelry is a place for me. This is like such a longer conversation, but jewelry is a place for me to like scale my or sell my art on like a scalable level. Because people, you know, I can make 100 necklaces versus like I can only make one painting a day or every 2 weeks.
Well, I would argue the opposite almost in the sense that the painting, you'd sell it for a lot more, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
But it takes so much time.
Yeah.
Whereas like jewelry is a business. I've learned so much about my creativity in all my businesses. And that's why I always am like, try a million things.
Well, jewelry, you can also outsource at some point. Like yeah. You could create the essential like prototype where here's the way that I want this necklace to look. And then you could go and have someone else string it for you versus the actual painting. It's like your full vision. Expression of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like only I can execute that vision really. Right. Versus like jewelry. I'm like, do this, try these gemstones, strand it this way. And then it's kind of repeatable.
Totally. But like that doesn't hit in art. And I feel like prints and stuff don't hit the same way as
true art or true, the real thing.
Yeah, like the original copy of it, right? Or the original, not the copy. But that's interesting. So primarily art, I feel like it is all different, different views of the same thing in a sense. Like if you're obviously super into fashion, jewelry is an accessory of fashion. It's also kind of art. So it really is all connected. I mean, even with beauty and makeup as well. But that's interesting.
Yeah.
Right now. And so you like, feel most at home when you're like painting and creating.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But it's also very interesting. My paintings and my like illustrations are sometimes the things that I'm scared to let go of the most and like sell. You know, my jewelry, often I'm like, oh, like I know it's going to sell. I'm confident it's going to sell. Whereas my art is such a truly vulnerable expression of my feelings and who I am in this moment that I find myself kind of just feeling more scared in that area.
Are you scared of what other people are going to think about it? Or do you have a physically hard time letting it go? Like,
no, like I think
the
I'm
passing
scared
of an emotion, you know?
It's been a lot of mindset work. I think if I was to be really honest with you, it would be like, I'm scared that I'm just like not credible to do this, you know?
I feel like, well, that's interesting because, well, you are obviously, but that's interesting because you don't strike me as someone
with confidence
that cares what is. I think we all have like confidence issues to some degree, right? Where it's like, if you really get down to the deep core of things, I always find it interesting, like what's under it, kind of like, well, where does that come from? Why? It's like, it's something underneath that. It's like the confidence, maybe it's not really that you care what people think about your painting. It's like some probably younger version of you feeling not good enough for some other reason, you know? And it's sort of like maybe you didn't feel as like supported or as
nurtured. Oh, I can tell you that for a fact.
As nurtured.
Even though I'm a great parent.
Exactly. But it's not, that's what I mean. It's not as black and white as like, oh, you had great parents growing up. Like they loved you well. They always wanted the best for you.
Yeah, you're supposed to be this way. Well, I think for me too, as I kind of said, my parents aren't creative. So when I didn't have someone to like share in this gift that I was given, whatever, divinely by God, anything, I kind of just felt alone. And I just didn't have that like communication and that connection over like who I was.
I think though that the most creative people often do feel that way.
Yeah.
And I think...
Well, I'll even say that's why I'm so like... I'm just so loyal to now being like, this is what I do. I don't have to explain it to anyone. And even with my art, I'm like, it doesn't need an explanation. It's just who I am and what I create.
Right. I mean, I think the part of that is just who you are. So I think the part of like being an artist and being a creative person, there's always a little bit of, we're like a little moody. We're a little misunderstood.
Oh, so
moody. We're a little like, that's just how we are. But I think that that's part of
the beauty
the
of
creating
it.
Like that's part of the creative process. Like if we weren't and we didn't feel things like that, I think your parents could have been super supportive of your art journey growing up. And like, I always felt really supported by my parents growing up and what I wanted to do. And I still like have felt misunderstood, have felt, and it wasn't like something that they did. It's sort of just integral to the fabric of who I am. So I think sometimes healing through that kind of stuff looks like just realizing that this is sort of just like a piece of who you are to a degree, you know, in a good way. Like
and
I think that
what makes me me.
Right. It's what makes you you, and it's what makes you be able to create because you come from that place. I think if it was all rainbows and butterflies and sunshine all the time, what place do you create that from? Like sometimes those creations, whether it's like writing a song or creating a product or designing a shirt or a painting or something, a poem, it's like that comes from like our deepest places when it's really done well, like when it's really done authentically. So sometimes it's just
being grateful for those.
Yeah, being grateful for the
highs and lows.
I don't want to say like darkness, but you know, being grateful for those feelings because so much of our society tells us that, and I didn't feel smart in school growing up because I didn't learn the way that
same
school.
I think we're really similar.
Yeah, I'm getting that now. I'm sensing that the way that school taught, you know, and then it was like much older when I realized, wait, I'm actually really, really smart.
Yeah.
But like it took.
You learned a different way.
And I think that it's like a whole other tangent about our like schooling system, but that oftentimes people that are creative, people that are different, people that don't like fit in a box, we often do feel misunderstood because you can't really like categorize us. Right. And I think that that's why we're good at what we do. So sort of, I think the next evolution could be like learning to actually embrace and appreciate those things because it did build you into who you are in many ways. And it is sort of the place in which you can create what you create from.
Yeah. Last year, I kind of went through like a grieving process because I feel like this is so talked about right now. It's almost overshared. Inner healing work or inner child work. And I went through such a few months of grieving for my younger self. Like I didn't get enough attention for like my artistic creativity or who I really was down underneath. And now I'm getting to a place where I'm actually grateful for that.
Exactly.
Because I wouldn't be different.
Exactly.
Know? Anyways.
And I wonder too, if you had gotten the praise and all the things, like it might not
have meant anything.
Right.
Or my gifts wouldn't have meant anything. I would have taken them for granted.
Yeah. Or it just might have been like, oh, I always knew I was this creative person and I'm still creative and this is fun for me. And it might not have had the like edge that it has, you know, when you don't feel that way. My business partner, Jeff and I, who's my co-founder of Dibs, we always joke that we have chips on our shoulders and that's like why we hustle the way that we do. And
my chip is
and do what
like
we do.
Pulling me down like this.
But it's like one of those things where like sometimes it's a good thing. Like sometimes you can use your struggles to empower your present.
Mm-hmm. And then relate to other people. I mean, now I'm like this past year, I've had such, I think on my scale, large social media growth. And that's because I finally outwardly shared all these things and spoken up about these things. And the amount of DMs and people that come in talking like, I didn't realize this about you. This makes me feel so much more comforted in my gifts and what I want to do and my passions.
I think too, something that's like sometimes hard to remember, but when I became a parent, I realized, oh, like parents are just people.
Yeah.
It's
they don't know everything.
It's so hard when you're a kid to be like, you're my mom, you're my dad. Like you're, and then there comes a point in time when you're like, oh shit, you're a person. Like,
yeah.
And I think with the exception of people that are just shitty people, like most parents, most people are like doing their best. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. Nobody gives you a manual when you become a parent. And sometimes I think maybe like if they weren't creative people, I mean, I don't know them. So I'm just speaking off of like my intuition on it. But I have a feeling that they probably had like your best interest at heart and thought that they were doing their best. It's just a matter of like, they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes we only have the ability to see in others what we know and what we have in ourselves sometimes. And I think like if those aren't things that they ever like explored or understood or had at all, it was probably harder for them to like recognize that in you to a degree. This wasn't supposed to be a therapy session, but you know, here we are.
Thank God though.
Dead. I want to talk about like the actual business side of what you do when it comes to scaling your social media accounts and really like scaling your businesses. How has that been for you? And do you have any tips for people who are starting out and looking to start something in a creative lane and how they can scale their socials and all that?
Oh my God, I have so many tips. This can be so
lay it out, girl.
Okay. Obviously, first one we hear all the time, like the small steps are so important. I always wanted my gestures on social media or for my business to be like these grand big things, like a huge collection with like a huge editorial catalog and imagining something huge and would be sold at Nordstrom's, whatever. And I'm learning that it might get to that at some point, but like trust all these little small steps that you have to take. And also don't get discouraged.
Definitely. I mean, we were just talking to Allie before we started filming today about how she was starting the studio here where we're recording and sitting right now. And you got denied how many times? 5 times for her business loan. It's like if she would have given up the first time, we wouldn't be here. So it's so crazy to think like you, if you really know something in your gut and you know that it's like your truth and you need to go down that path and see it to fruition, then you have to keep going. You have to, and I think it's important to pivot in those moments when needed.
Yeah.
And grow when needed, but you have to definitely stay persistent.
It's a really hard balance of like not being too domineering and like just trying to make this thing work versus like intuitively knowing, I think this is what I'm meant to do. Like I'm going to follow that thing. For me, that's kind of what I'm trying to listen to. You know, at some point, if maybe a little voice or I feel inside myself, this isn't right, this isn't working, I'll be glad to step off, you know?
Definitely.
But it does take really hard work.
Oh, and absolutely.
And consistency. That's like, oh, Sarah. She's like, this girl, I have a hard time with consistency.
Really?
Yeah. But I have seen with my social media in particular, just being consistent there, which I haven't been over the past years.
Is it a discipline thing or is it a, you don't feel creative when do you associate discipline? I mean, do you associate routine with consistency? So it doesn't make you feel like yourself or is it discipline and actually just like doing it?
Oh, we are still in the therapy chair.
I do have therapy today. So maybe I'm just like secretly prepping.
Courtney, I don't know. I'm such a creative at heart. I hate when people tell me that I have a job and I need to do something.
So it's a stubborn.
It's just like, I know I feel it, like, but it's annoying.
Consistency feels like a schedule, like a routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. And it's a struggle too, because we need people in our life. We need, like, I have a team, obviously, and you have a team, and we need people to do the things that we're not good at and to meet us there. And play their part and we play ours. And it's really important and integral to like success in the world in general. But I think too, there's that balance of feeling like we can be like wild and free, but there's like a slightly harnessed version of that.
We need
right?
someone to just mm-hmm. kind of have a little like leash
like,
on us.
Think about us like balloons.
Yes.
We're like floating up there, but we're still like tethered to something.
Yeah. A kite.
You know? But I think that it's hard because in those moments, like we struggle with that a little bit. And on my team sometimes, because I know like Audrey loves a schedule. She wants a routine. She wants a schedule. I like a routine in little things. Like I like to walk in the morning. I like routine in those ways. But during my day, like there's a shiny butterfly over there. Oh my gosh, I have an idea. I've got to go film it. And then here's this product.
I also think just the nature of social media. Yeah. this job has to be kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it has to be. But
especially
then it's
when you're creating in the moment.
But then, you know, if somebody orders something, they commission you to do something, you got to get it done.
Yeah.
If I have 4 meetings that day for dibs, got to sit down and take my meetings. And so sometimes it's finding the balance between how do we remain
true
to ourselves and stay authentic to that because it is what makes us good at what we do. But then taking like accountability and learning to be good at the things that we're naturally good at. Because yeah. I think those are the things that can make us great at what we do.
Yeah.
If you and compare that together.
You're so right. Like that's the biggest thing with business I've learned is I can't do it all. So like trust your superpower, whether that be the creative or like Audrey, planning the schedule. So with your business, find your superpower. In the beginning, you're going to have to do everything. That's fine. But then you can slowly add people into this like machine. And then once you step back and kind of can see those people take on their roles and watch the machine work, it's so relieving and it's so gratifying.
It is. And it allows you to be
better,
creative and sit back into that role.
Quick break because today's episode is brought to you by Tula. If you have been following me for a while now, or honestly any period of time, then you probably know that I am so obsessed with Tula and you're probably just as obsessed with this brand as I am. They were one of the first brands I ever worked with, which is crazy to think about almost 11 years later. I always love stocking up when I have a code, and today I have a podcast code, which is extremely exciting and so special for you guys. Let's chat about a few things and some of my favorite products. You guys know the face wash is obviously a must. I've gone through countless numbers of them. I think if you asked me how many face washes I've gone through, I couldn't even give you a number. It's genuinely that many. If you haven't tried their body products, stop what you're doing and order them ASAP. Those are also some of my favorites. The body butter situation that comes in a jar, and then the exfoliator. I just love the beads because they're not too harsh on your skin. They definitely do look a good job of exfoliating, but they don't feel like they're rubbing all of your skin off, which I feel like a lot of exfoliators do. So use my code COURTSIDE for 15% off and enjoy.
Do you feel like, this is an interesting question, are you really feminine, like in a relationship? Because I feel like creating is a very feminine act. And if that's what you're doing like all day, do you sort of stay in that feminine energy, or do you ever find yourself like switching like the polarity?
Can
of
we
that?
Explain deeper?
Yeah, yeah.
I know feminine energy and I know the masculine. Masculine's like
the doer.
Yeah.
All that, like the doer, the planner. I feel like feminine energy is like creating and being and all this kind of stuff.
No, I'm more of the feminine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The feminine and the masculine balance. While I'm creative, I tend to be more in my masculine in work. And so I've learned over time and now being with the right person to be feminine in relationship and to like allow myself to just let go. But that was a being with the right person thing and then a learned thing to a degree, right? Where I'm curious, because you're creative and it's like following the butterflies throughout the day, like do you stay
feminine
like that all the time in your personal? Yeah.
My family and my now boyfriend would tell you I'm such a butterfly.
That's always interesting that I, that's like what
Gemini,
I picked up on.
So
yeah.
I don't know. You know what's really funny about me, Courtney? I'm not like plan the dinner. Like I've maybe never planned a dinner in my life.
See, no, I get that. I was actually just joking with my two best friends the other day because we were saying, so our friend Ava is like the planner in the group. I like a plan. Allie will be 15 minutes late to any plan. I like a plan, but I'm not going to make it. Like I'll be there for the plan and
same.
I want to know the plan.
Same.
But I don't want to be the one that makes the plan. Ava likes the plan, and she'll make it. So we're sort of all like different evolutions of the planning situation. We all make it there, you know?
But you need that in your friendships.
If
they were all the planners together, mm-mm.
No, yeah.
Like my friends' time, my good friends that are the planners sometimes gripe. They're like, I wasn't here. We would never hang out. Nothing would get done. But that's the beauty of it. Like I don't know.
Again, it's a balance, right? It's people doing things that you're not good at and they're good at. And it's learning to elevate each other in different ways. What are some things that you think have like elevated your personal style? I want to talk about style because I think it's like a question that I love to ask guests on this podcast because I love like people's personal style. I think it's really an integral part of it's sort of like a dress up for adults, if you think about style, right?
Oh, for sure.
And I feel like it's a cool creative expression that whether you have a 9-to-5 or you do something super creative, like you can still express yourself through your personal style. How have you found your personal style? How do you describe it, or how can you give people tips on how they can find their personal style?
I think the biggest thing with personal style that I try to bring into my, you know, wardrobe anytime I'm dressing up or going to an event is that the clothes I put on my body are literally just here for me to play, like a little kid, you know? And that's the fun of it. It doesn't have to be so serious. It doesn't have to be, I don't know, fake or calculated. Like, you can play, you know? I think that's the greatest gift of this art that it is that we wear, the clothes that we wear. But in terms of personal style, I think it's just like art and creativity. You really have to listen to what you like. And I was telling Sarah today, I thought you were going to be like, what's your 5 favorite trends? And I'd be like, oh my God, I haven't looked at a magazine in 2 years.
See, I feel like I knew that about you. I could see you like looking at a magazine, like cutting things out to like mood board and get inspired by things. But you don't strike me as someone that's like out following trends. I feel like you create your own.
No, like I literally was thinking about it and I was like, she's going to ask me the trends. So I looked it up and they were like, the trends for fall are leopard. And I was like, well, shit, duh.
Duh.
Suede. I was like, okay, duh.
Socks with loafers and tights. Yeah.
But I haven't really looked at trends. I just honestly know what I like and I just wear it.
What do you like?
Color. I love like just fascinating items. I've like always been like that. Yeah. Like top stitching. I mean, this is such a simple jacket, but the fact that it's top stitched with white stitching, it's adorable.
Yeah. Totally.
I just like those kind of things. And I've always done, my aunt will tell you, like, since I've been little, I've just always been drawn to sparkly things.
Yeah. Sparkly things are fun.
I love anything intricate and like artisan made and just something that you can't find anywhere.
Did you shop a lot of vintage stuff then? Or
yeah.
Where do you shop?
Vintage, secondhand designer. Sometimes I'll like go into Nordstrom's, but I just can never find anything.
Where do you like to vintage shop in Austin? Give us some tips.
So one of our, like, I'm from a little small town up the road, and one of our guy friends just opened a vintage store.
Oh, cool.
Called Shop Howdy's.
Nice.
That's where this is from. You know, I don't know a lot of vintage in Austin.
Do you shop online? Like, where are you shopping then?
Yeah.
Vintage stores online?
The Real Real.
Okay.
I have if I need to create more content on The Real Real because people don't get it. This is where you can find dirt cheap designer, like beautiful designer.
I sell a lot of stuff on there too, actually.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
God rest in peace, all your pieces, because you probably are barely getting anything.
I mean, it's some of those things though where it's like,
you're just going to sit there.
Yeah, I want someone else to enjoy it. You know, like we donate a lot of stuff, obviously, because moving through things. But I think I've recently cleaned out my closet hardcore. And I think it's sort of that, do I want to reach for it? Does it make me happy? Do I want to grab it? Do I feel good in it? I recently have had this whole like sort of awakening with things like that being like, I think it's okay to look at something and say, I like this. This is beautiful. It's not me. Versus I love this and it feels like me, right? There's like a big difference there. Do you have tips for how people can, so play, for example, and then sort of like see what you feel good in, like what?
Yeah, just self-discovery. Like you really, the one thing with personal style is like biggest thing, honestly, just in life, know thyself. I know what I like.
Yeah.
And I'm so loyal to it. You know, of course there's times when
I like
I'm
how
like,
you phrase that.
I'm like, let's like dilly dally in this little thing. And then I figure out I don't like it and beautiful. Great.
Yeah.
Move on to the next. But I know a lot of people get caught up in like, what's trending. Let's go back to that. What's trending. And the thing about that is you're just basing what you like off of what other people are wearing. You're not doing the inner work to say, why would I even wear this or like this? Why does this make me feel good?
That's like a note on our society in general. I've talked about that in different forms and other podcasts too. But I think influence, I know this might sound like ironic coming from me, but it's like influence is great. If you want to discover pieces, and I'm sharing this like gray tank top or this gray t-shirt. It's like my favorite. It's so soft. It's great. But then go make it yours, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
but that's true to you. Right. That's what you wear, Courtney. You love your, you know, your Amazon finds even.
Totally. And the basics. And then like my thing is like, I love sort of this like mix of a little tomboy, a little feminine, little sexy, but like simpler pieces. And then just like tons of jewelry, like that kind of thing. I typically like I feel the most me in like an oversized pant and like a crop top, like something a little sexier up top, little oversized, little more tomboyish. In the fall and winter, I heavily gravitate towards neutrals. And in the summer, I love color. It like totally depends.
I know, you're such a color girl.
It's a tan. It's like a thing with my tan, I think.
Yeah.
I feel a little like jaundiced in the winter. Colors are harder. Whereas like I love colors in the summer when I'm tan, like I gravitate towards that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think all in all, it's been about identifying, do I like this, but is it me, right? And like, and taking that turn. So I think it's great to see something that someone else is wearing and take inspiration from it and then make it your own.
Yeah. And some people are like, that investment of figuring out what I like is too tiring. It's too exhausting.
Or some people aren't creative and they don't want to. That's not how they express themselves. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Some people express themselves in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, when they want to cook that way. Or, yeah.
Sometimes when people watch my content, I'm like, you're missing the point. You don't have to do this. It's all just advice.
And be you is the point. And so yeah. It's like, maybe you look totally different than me and that's beautiful and that's how it should be. But I think it's like learning to find out what makes you feel like you and then settle in to that.
Mm-hmm. If it's all black, beautiful. It's all totally. Color, beautiful.
My mom is like such a, like my mom is so loyal to her black legging. She loves
my mom too.
A black legging and she will die on that hill. And it's like so Liz, but she's been effortlessly chic for 40 years.
And it's
so,
her look.
You know,
it's Liz like, has a look.
Oh, Liz has such a look. Like good on Liz, honestly. Like I do think, I mean, Liz's goals for, you know, for a variety of reasons. But I think that there is something to be said about just knowing your personal style and knowing yourself. Like you and Liz, stylistically, like she wants the black and the black and the simple. Like you couldn't be more different. Both so chic because it's so you.
Exactly.
Right? And that's, I think, the key at the end of the day.
Exactly.
It's not about what's on trend, but it's about, and it's fun,
it's
I think.
Honoring yourself.
You know why I kind of think trends are cool to a degree is because I think it allows people to explore things that maybe they didn't think about or maybe they didn't creatively do the work to think, oh, let me pair like a weird tights with my this and my that. And it's like, it's almost like the fashion industry's exploration for you. And then you try it out. But I think it's important to, if you're going to try it, assess it if it's you or not when you try it, you know, because maybe it is.
Be discerning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good word.
And that's what personal style is. You just have to discern, is this for me?
Totally.
But everything in life is like that.
Completely. I feel like also surrounding yourself with people who are also themselves when you're so yourself is like very important. Do you feel like, are you really picky when it comes to your friends and who you surround yourself with?
I'm such an introvert.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it.
I'm such an, I'm an introverted extrovert, but yeah, I'm picky. I'm super picky. And honestly, I think I'm pretty good at like reading people. If energy wise, it doesn't work, I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like no hate on you, but I want to be with the people that I love.
Totally. We were talking about this at brunch
yesterday.
And I
think that's maybe just like an age thing.
In part,
you really, you realize you have this cup of your energy. There's only like 5 or 6 cups that you want to pour it into. It's not worth like
totally
throwing it over the edge, you know, into someone else.
And I think too, when you're sparkly, you have to realize that when you touch other people, you're making them sparkly too. And hopefully vice versa, right? When people are touching you who are sparkly, they're making you sparkly and you're like all growing and thriving and like elevating each other. If someone is just taking your energy consistently and they're not also making you sparkly while you're making them sparkly, it's just, it feels like that. Like it feels like the
isn't like it funny that we don't have words to like articulate it really?
Yeah. Am I making sense?
You are making total sense, but like you can't explain it. You just know it. It's in your gut.
Yeah. It's like an energy vampire thing.
Yeah.
I always know too, in like a truth, like a really truthful moment, it's like I'll always get like chills. Like my intuition.
Your body knows.
Mm-hmm. Always. And I think I read a quote the other day that said something about when you sort of like go away from logic a little bit, when things that aren't maybe like always the most logical start to just, you go into the feeling of it, usually things are right, right? When you just, you know it, you just feel it. Like you don't have to logically explain it. It doesn't have to be, well, this makes sense because cite these five things. It's like, it just makes sense because it does. And it's one of those things that earlier, I think part of maturing and growing too is being so authentic in yourself that it's okay to say like, this is me and it's okay if you don't get it.
Yeah.
This is me and it's okay if you don't like my art. I like my art. I've told this story on the podcast before, but Kinsley, my daughter, came home from school one day and she's like the sparkliest and she's incredible. People,
sweet little girl.
People are like really drawn to her. Like she's amazing. And everyone like in her class and everything, it's always like Kinsley, Kinsley, Kinsley. And someone came up to her in preschool. She's in first grade now, but they said like, I don't like you. Just like mean, like out of nowhere, I don't like you. And she came home and she was really upset. And she's like, they said they didn't like me. And I was like, well, do you like you? And she was like, yeah, I like me. And I was like, okay. So the answer is like, we came up with the response, which is like, basically that's okay, right? Like you,
yeah.
I like me.
Yeah.
So that's on you.
Yeah.
Like I don't need you to like me. So much of our society, sorry, I keep kicking you. We're playing footsie down here.
I know. I like your shoes though.
Thanks. So much of our society is sort of like approval based, right? It's like for boys, it's play sports and you're good at this and approved. For girls, it's like, you know,
be pretty,
like do be this, thin. Be all the things, be feminine, be skinny, yeah. Be like whatever, right? Wear this, wear
outgoing,
that.
Outgoing,
like, mm-hmm.
Be
do
sexual,
it all.
But not right. Too sexual.
It's everything.
You know?
And I think when we stop seeking the approval of others, and it's like, I wear makeup every day. I don't wear makeup every day because I care what you think about me. I don't wear makeup every day because I don't feel confident without makeup. I wear makeup every day because I love makeup.
Yeah.
I literally create it for a living.
Yeah.
When I was little, I was doing people's makeup on the bus on the way to school. I was doing my grandparents'
Courtney
makeup.
Courtney in the back lip lining.
100%. I was like, you know, do you know what lip smacker shade you should be using, babe? It's obviously orange. Like this would look so good on your skin. Come on. Like it's just who I am, right? And it's... But I think sometimes those things are misconstrued as
you're trying.
You feel like you need to wear it. And it's like, yeah. No, I don't. You don't probably get dressed in cute clothes every day because
for
you
anyone else.
Are trying to, you know, have someone else's approval. You do it because you like it.
Yeah.
And it's who you are.
Yeah. There's an Instagram like trending viral thing on fashion. It's like, people ask if men like my outfits. I think that's what it was. And I'm like, I don't get dressed in the morning because I think I think about what men are going to think about my outfit.
Totally.
You know?
And I think that it's like a lot of women go through that phase of sort of like dressing for the male gaze. Like I've been guilty of that when I was younger for sure. But I've told this story in the podcast, I think before, but I was walking one time in college with a group of guy friends who were all just like strictly guy friends. And this group of girls walked by and I went to school in Boston. It was freezing cold. It was, you know, 20 degrees one night and I'm comfortable. I'm casual. And of course there was like plenty of nights in college when I was not comfortable and casual and I was like trying to dress up. But these girls walked by us and this is not a knock on the girls. This is like a, just hang with me. It's a story on perception. These girls walked by and they were in super short tight dresses and heels and they're freezing. You could tell it's 20 degrees outside. They were obviously like dressing for the male gaze. And every single guy that walked by, and the girls were very pretty, and every single guy that walked by said, oh my God, those girls look cold. Not one of them was like, those girls are hot. They were like, those girls are cold. Like, aren't they freezing? Oh my God. Like, put on some pants.
We're all
like,
still cavemen.
I feel bad for you. Like, they're sitting there all like, oh my God, aren't they freezing? It was never like, dang, look
amazing.
At those girls. And so sometimes, right, even when you do want to be perceived a certain way, that's not how you're perceived. So there's a certain point of just like, fuck it. Like,
yeah, yeah. That's
you know?
Like so relieving.
Yes.
The freedom of that,
mm-hmm.
You know? There was something I was going to say when we were talking earlier, and Lisa Nichols is like a pretty big name in the self-motivation, self-help world. And she was saying how a lot of us go out into the world and we're seeking others to tell you our value. We're seeking for other people to tell us they love us. We're seeking other people to celebrate us and thank us for what we do before we step out and say, like, why are we not first saying, I love me. I'm proud of me. I value me. I celebrate me. Like we go out to the world and we're like expecting people to give us our value. Whereas like we should step out in the world and say, this is my value. And then
totally. Know, and I, but I think people, the second part of that is valuing ourselves for the right things. Not because we feel pretty or we like our outfit that day, or we feel tan or not, or successful, or we're making money or we're not, or none of those things really. It's like, I don't think I truly became confident in who I was until I experienced like real deep loss and realized that no matter how many times I got like bucked off the horse, so to speak, or I was like down and out, like I was always going to get back on. I was always going to get back up. I think I didn't truly become confident in who I was until I realized that I'm resilient. And so it was a much deeper inner confidence than it was like an external confidence. Because I think when you seek validation for the wrong things, you'll always feel empty.
For sure. Well, that even goes, Sarah and I were talking about, it was about like why I do what I do. And in terms of business, like if your motive is to make money or even to like grow a following, it was your podcast. I listened to one of your podcasts this morning about growing your Instagram, like becoming a content creator. If you're doing this to gain a following or to make money, like that's horrible motivation. It's not going to last.
And it's also, I do think we live in a world where people are smart.
Yeah.
And people can see through that and they don't feel the genuine energy and intention behind it. And it just doesn't hit the same.
Yeah.
And like, frankly, it is not a 9-to-5. I'm not saving lives in a hospital. Someone said something really funny the other day when Jeff and I got nominated for Entrepreneur of the Year this year with Ernst & Young. And we were sitting there talking and I was on Instagram stories and I'm like, oh my gosh, like there's people here who are creating like life-saving robots. And it was like one of those things. And I was sitting here like feeling a little bit like, oh my gosh, we just make bronzer, you know? And someone's like, no, like you saved my life though. Like through these products and through feeling confident and like, you're not curing cancer, but you're like definitely curing something, you know? And I think
truly,
it's sort of like interesting. Like that's interesting too, because so often it's hard and it is work. And while it isn't, hats off to teachers and nurses and, you know, and
doctors and people are
100%. It's different though. We're all bringing different things to the world. And so I think it's hard. Sometimes it has a bad rap and you're like, it's a lot of work. And people are like, shut up. You're sitting here doing this all day. And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying though.
But the people that make it the best work are the people that like aren't doing it selfishly.
Exactly.
You know,
contrary to, I'm sure, someone's belief, I don't get on Instagram and talk to myself every day because I like hearing myself talk. It's like, I like connecting with people.
Yeah. And like also to Courtney, the fact that I think people look at you and they're like, she's a single mom and she's like built this world for herself from nothing. Like all of us are born into the world with nothing, you know, and maybe some people have whatever, but you're a single mom and you built this huge, huge business and you're doing it all with a huge team. And that is just super empowering.
Thank you.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you hear that enough, but like Instagram stories or whatever, like you're actually doing it.
Yeah. It's been something. And I think it's been incredible, but it really has been born from my genuine love of like creating and helping people and connecting with people and wanting to create products that help people feel beautiful and feel like most like themselves. And that's why even on the hard days, I still feel inspired and motivated because I'm doing it for that reason. When you feel uninspired or like you're in a creative rut, how do you get out of that rut? How do you get re-inspired? Where do you draw your inspiration from?
Usually if I'm in a rut, it's because I'm like not listening to me. You know, either I'm doing everything, trying to do everything for my business or for my like family or for my friends, you know, like if you're in a creative rut, there's probably reasons. And those reasons are because you're neglecting yourself. You're not doing the things that make you happy. You're not doing the things that stimulate your mind. And you're just unhappy in general.
What's like your short list of things that make you happy? What are your go-to things if you're feeling a little out of balance?
Matcha is my new one.
Okay, I love it.
Matcha with honey and a little bit of sea salt and then almond milk. That was a joke, but actually it's real.
I get that. I feel that.
Obviously dressing up, Like when I first moved to Austin, I truly was in a rut because I didn't dress up here. I was like always in leggings, going to work out, running my business in like my pajamas. And I realized after a few months, I was like, oh my God, I like am really unhappy with myself.
Yeah, just uninspired because you sort of weren't inspiring yourself.
Yeah, I didn't have like, and also too, this is a totally different conversation, but when I moved to Austin, part-time moved, everything, like I still have an apartment in New York. So all of my life was in New York. My clothes, my wardrobe.
You still do now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like everything in my, you'll see in my videos is my New York apartment. All my clothes were in New York. I think here I had like two jackets. And I was so unhappy.
Sadly, we haven't needed them yet.
I know. But it's so true that like, if clothes make you happy, let them make you happy.
Yeah, it's
They're not
fun.
Here for like egotistical reasons.
Totally.
Like it's a soul thing.
And it's a fun thing. That's how I feel about jewelry. And that's how I feel. It's like a self-expression. It's fun. I don't place my value as a human in things.
Yeah.
But they're fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like okay to give yourself that permission to play. I think that's like one of the biggest takeaways from this episode is it's okay. It's like being your truest self. It's like it takes exploration and it takes time and it takes allowing yourself the opportunity to just play and explore for that to really come out.
Well, and to the other thing I'll say about that is like, I don't know, you just have to create judgment-free zones, whether if it's like your clothing or the art you create. I know some people that are
your
like—
Your friendships too.
Yeah. Like, or even being a mom. Being a mom, like stop putting this pressure on yourself. I know for me, before I like did any of this, like released my art or even like went head first into jewelry or even my personal style on Instagram, like I was so judgmental. I was my biggest critic for no reason. How are you supposed to go anywhere in life when you're the one like constantly criticizing yourself even before you walk out your front door? So I think just like create space in your life to not put so much pressure and judgment on yourself. You don't need it.
And
it's not helping.
And I think a lot of that too comes from, again, what we talked about earlier, that fear of what other people are going to think. You get up in the morning is everyone going to hate this? You know, and it's like, who cares? Do you like it? I give that advice in dating too. I think so much we're taught so frequently, unfortunately, does he like me? What does he think of me? What do they think of me? My friends, my outfit, like what does everybody else think of me? What do you think of you? What do you think of them? Do you like it? Do you like him? Do you like her? Do you like your outfit? What do you like? We can't even get to what we like because we're so worried about what other people like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. It's not easy to get past that.
Yeah. I mean, it's applicable to everything.
100%. Especially dating.
I told Sarah a few days ago because she's kind of starting to date. She is worried about... She doesn't have anyone in particular yet, but she's like, but what is so-and-so going to think about it? What is mom going to think about it? I'm like, in these first few stages, why don't you just put yourself in a vacuum? It's about you and the other person. It's not about what everyone thinks. Like just let you and the other person build something for a second.
Completely. And I think that was something I did really intentionally in my relationship. And I'm so grateful that I did because I didn't allow other people's opinions, mindsets, questions. It's like, sometimes you just aren't ready to share something yet and that's okay. It's okay to take a beat, take a minute, have something for yourself before you put it out into the world because sometimes when you do put out into the world, it's hard. People also haven't done the inner work. People also haven't, you know, healed themselves and they spend their free time judging you because they're scared to look in the mirror.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Uh-huh, and that's life. And I think sometimes too, it's like healthy. It's really healthy to just keep some things for yourself and for your partner really healthy.
You can't put a price tag on privacy. I say that.
Yeah, no, it's.
I tell my boyfriend that because he's like, when are you going to launch me?
Well,
like, I don't know yet.
How long have you guys been together?
Like 6 months. Well, I met him in May. We've been official since September, but like, I really like my privacy. So much of my life is online and there's just, you have to be able to choose what's private.
Completely. I have also found you can still share and maintain privacy in some capacity, right? Like not fully, but it's like you can share, you know, picture, a snap, a little video here and there. And it's like people still don't actually know what's going on in your life. They don't know the conversations. They don't know where you're at. They don't know how you feel. They don't know what you do in your time with your person. They just know like that that's the person that you're dating. That's kind of it. So I think it can be, you can never share, or you can share and still maintain some level of that if that's like what you eventually choose to do, you know? But I think, again, it should be for you because you want to share that and that feels fun and exciting to you, not because you feel like you have to do it, you know? Because that's sort of like the crux of everything that we're talking about, right? Is your boyfriend creative?
Not really. Oh, maybe a little bit. He like, his family is very musical, which is something I'm not, I feel like that's, I mean, music is obviously super creative. I can't play any instrument, but he can. So I would say kind of creative.
Yeah, to creative in a different path. Well, I still look forward to all the things that you're going to do. It's been such a fun journey to watch so far. Are the rainbow necklaces still out of stock? I get this question.
No, they're in stock.
Okay. That's rare, right?
They sell out. I just have to say, Sarah and I told her, I was like, I tell you this a lot, but you like that helped my business in a way that I can't even explain. And this doesn't even need to be on the podcast. This is something that I've just been meaning to tell you. Like, what I realized with business is it's not always going to be like this. It's much more like this. And you caught me at a period where we were down here. And like, I can't even explain the words of gratitude I have for you because your support meant so much and really like pulled us up in a period where I felt creatively drained and everything. So
thank you.
Well, I love you.
I love you back. I'm glad to play a part in that way. I think it's been really fun not only to connect with people, but to be able to elevate and lift up businesses of people who I truly believe in and who's whatever they're creating, I just genuinely love. And like, and you've been so kind as to like give me things and drop off things. And I've also bought a lot of stuff. Yeah. I just, cause like, again,
you never asked though.
It's where I am like spending my own money. I'm like obsessed, right? So it's like, I genuinely love it. And so it's been fun to be able to share. And I love, I think that God's like sort of, you know, blessed me in that way, not sort of like very much blessed me in that way. And it's cool to be able to use that platform for something like that.
Well, it's your way to give back, I think. Like you've been shown in your career, I'm sure you've been shown many times like support that you didn't even feel worthy of maybe sometimes. And so now you have the chance to give it back. Pay it back, which is beautiful.
Pay it forward. We're in the Starbucks.
Like even Catherine of Alador. Yeah. We were talking a few nights ago about you and she was like, she's just so supportive. And I'm like, she's so supportive and she doesn't ask for anything back.
Thank you.
So
that makes me feel really seen and really happy. I think like it's this weird thing in our world where people try to like paint you in a certain light. And I think the people that don't actually know me and have never met me and never know me, it's like, it's this weird thing when people just like want to tear you down. I think if they sense that you're genuinely happy, which is really like a sad note on our society as a whole, but it's crazy because it's like, I know who I am and the people in my life know who I am. Allie and I talked about this the other day at brunch, but it's like, I have like, there's random strangers that literally send like people in my life messages and be like, oh, are you guys still friends? Like weird shit where it's like just trying to sort of tear me down or paint me some way. And it's like nice to feel seen. Because I think a lot of times...
You see the negative.
Well, yeah, I see the negative. And when people... Because I'm never going to go out there and be like, today I supported this person. It's like people that actually want to be genuinely supported for the right reasons don't need to do that. I don't need to do that.
No, they don't share
People
it.
Don't know what I do behind the scenes or in front of the scenes even sometimes, right? And it's like some of those things, it's just like... So thank you for saying that. Because I think to feel seen for that feels like really nice. Because I do think sometimes because I... say less in certain circumstances. And I have been, as much as I share my life, I've been private about certain things. I have given people the opportunity to create whatever narrative they want.
And you also, at the end of the day, you know you, your friends know you.
Completely.
Great friends.
That's what we said. I have the best friends. But it's like, just people are weird like that.
Yeah.
It's a bit bizarre. But at the end of the day, I feel like the internet, it's a vortex that way. While it can create and elevate and do all these amazing things and you can really feel like supported and connected to people and it can have such a positive impact too. It's also just...
can be used for evil.
Yeah, it's also the internet and I think it's like only, it only has the light you give it. So thank you for being here. This has been so fun. I didn't like expect this to be as therapeutic as it's like weirdly been, but this is amazing.
Oh, well, next time you got to get Sarah in the chair because you'll cry. Oh,
I'm here for it.
You'll cry.
This has been so fun. Tell everybody where they can find you.
So on obviously all the Instagram or the platforms, I'm on Maggie Villamaria Jewelry is my business. Maggie Villamaria is me. And then TikTok is the same thing, but I'm not as active there. So mostly you can find me on Instagram.
It's been such a pleasure. Can't wait to see what you create next.